Let's get back to you a little bit. So you were six, as you say, when the war broke out.
Yes.
But what is your sort of earliest memory of Gibraltar, do you think?
Well, as I said in my book there, my earliest memory is of being in bed with a high fever and then looking up and seeing the light receding from me like that, you know, and then feeling my father picking me up, you know, and holding me. I must have been about four then or something like that, while my maid was remade. That's my earliest memory. And then the other memory really is of trying to push the little car I had round the little garden we had, which was gravel. And of course it just didn't go because the gravel stopped it going. I could do it in the passage inside the house, but not there. And I've got a film of it, actually, of me having to pick it up and walk it and push it. You know, we've got quite a lot of filmed 8mm films.
Yeah, tell me about the films, actually.
My father took colour 8mm films, which I've still got. In fact, I put them all on videos, not on CDs, on videos. I haven't transferred them to things. And there we've got, in those CDs, it shows some in Gibraltar, parades in Gibraltar with all the military there and all the rest of it, and a little bit of Gibraltar like that, and also then the holidays that we used to go to Normandy on holiday, and then because my mother had phlebitis and she had very bad legs, and she used to go to a place called Bagnols-sur-Lon, which was a watering place for her legs, and then we used to take a hotel near there in Normandy.
So what sort of date would this be?
I'm talking about 36, 37.
Ah, right.
No, this is before the war, 38. No, all the films that my father took are
still got the original
pre-war.
Film.
I've got the original ones,
that's
yes.
That's very good.
I've got the original ones too. I've got even got the camera.
Oh, wow.
And the projector.
Oh, well.
And the projector.
Have a film show later. Good. Okay. So... You say in your memoirs that you do remember that the family was evacuated to Madeira. First of all, to Rabat.
Yes.
So tell us
about Rabat.
That.
I can't.
It's quite unusual.
I can't remember. There were quite a few of us from there. Some went to Casablanca actually, and some went to Rabat. And all I can remember of Rabat is the fact that we lived in a building that was flats, small building that was flats. It was quite nice. And but then I have this incredibly vivid memory. It's funny, I've got this incredibly vivid memory. When the Vichy government came in and the French government fell and we had to get out of there, I've got this incredibly vivid memory of going in the train and looking out, and there were these goods wagons, you know, full of really dejected-looking French soldiers. They didn't have any hats on. Their uniforms were open like that, you know. They didn't have any weapons, and we passed them, and, you know, row after row of these good wagons with all these French soldiers. And obviously, they were being repatriated to France or something. And that's a very, 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 it's an extraordinary, it's one that I've never forgotten.
Very
interesting
forgotten. You say that, actually, because I'm just listening to a chap called James Lagares, who I don't know if you know,
Lagares,
he runs he's a Shropshire, he's got a property thing very near the main cathedral. And he said exactly, he said he remembered that exactly, very
Does
similar
he?
Memory, similar age. And he also remembered, he thought that they were being swapped for the French soldiers, that the Gibraltarians were being let out and as the French prisoners were brought back. But I don't know if that was his
No, all I know that they were there, so the train wasn't moving. Mm. As we moved out, we saw these people, I saw these soldiers just sitting in the goods wagons. They were in goods wagons, you know, just looking very dejected, and their uniform all sort of not proper, you know, they were not in a...
So one of a fairly memory of sort of an image of war.
Yes, yes. I mean, that is a very, very vivid image, that one, actually.
Absolutely.
Which has never left me. Then I don't remember anything about the trip back. We must have had a boat take us back. It might have been one of the Bland boats take us back to Gib.
So just to go back a bit, so what was your father doing at this point?
Well, my father was still working as an assistant colonial secretary and...
So he
and
stayed?
He stayed, yes, yes, he stayed.
We need to probably cover that as a section.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, he stayed.
Mm.
So then we got back to Gibraltar, and I don't know how long we were there, But obviously, what they thought was that we were going to be in danger there because of well, I don't know whether it was they wanted to get us out because, in fact, as you know, we had one or two raids from the French and the Italians. Not that they did much damage because Gibraltar is terribly difficult to bomb. It's like that. To actually get anything falling on Gibraltar is that difficult. But they have three or four bombs fell, and I think one person was killed, but not very much damage was done. But we were obviously that. The other thing was that I've been reading something else, and someone else says that they might have taken us out because they were going to need it in order to bring in a lot more troops. So that they're going to have to really in the Navy, the Air Force, everything, you know, was going to have to think. So we were there for some time. And from there we went to Madeira. I can't remember anything about the trip to Madeira, what sort of boat we went in, or anything, nothing. Being in Madeira and really rather enjoying it because we were very relaxed. You know, we seemed to have enough food. There was no problem with that. We were in this very nice hotel, part of which still survives. I've been there twice since. And part of the old part of the hotel was still there. When we were there, there was that part of the hotel, and we didn't live in that. Then there was this walkway, concrete walkway, with probably vines growing, a long thing like that, leading to a very nice building, which was an annex. And we lived in the annex. And just at that point here, there was a path coming up like that that led to the hotel. And we were in that annex, and I remember those two things that happened, which was the hurricane. We were suddenly hit by a hurricane, which was very horrifying in the noise that it made and all the rest of it. So we all went into the annex and locked the doors and windows and stayed there. And it was soon over. It didn't last all that long. A few hours, I suppose. And then I remember that going into my mother's room and seeing that a bit of plaster from the ceiling had fallen on her bed from the ceiling. But of course we weren't. Luckily she wasn't in bed, so that didn't affect us. And the other thing was we had an earthquake. We had this earthquake I was walking along this walkway like that, and I felt it under my shoes, and I thought to myself, there must be some submarines there. That's what was. I remember thinking that there must be some submarines, because obviously there was something. If there was movement underneath, there must be something under there. And you know, children are very logical. If there was there, there must be something there. And I remember distinctly thinking that that we must have there must be a submarine there. We were very lucky. We used to we had this nanny. This actually wasn't a nanny. She was a governess. And the only thing, she was very, very nice. And 60 years later, we met her again. And we got in touch, you know, because we suddenly found we had a connection. And my sister and I went to, she lived in America then. She'd married an Englishman who had gone to Madeira and then who'd moved to the States. And she used to make the odd visit to Madeira. So when we knew she was coming, we also went to Madeira and we met them. We had two or three very, very nice days there together. She taught us, really, I suppose, to read and write. She made a bit of a mess with me in the writing because she'd learnt this American way of writing, which all I did was I had to do all these movements like this and these things like that, and that was supposed to improve your writing. Actually, I have a terrible writing, which everyone has complained about all through my life. Only one master, actually, was extremely good. When he complained about my writing, he said, "Don't worry about it. The cleverest boy I've ever taught also had horrible writing." So he let me off the hook like that. And then she would take us to, I think it must have been a pool or somewhere, because there are no beaches there, to swim. I'm just trying to think of my name, but I've forgotten now. I've been reading about it. At any rate, we did that. And then the other thing which I remember very vividly is saying we're going to go on pilgrimage to this Shrine of Our Lady. And the Shrine of Our Lady was up a hill, and at the top of a hill there was a shrine with a statue of Our Lady surrounded by this large chain, and I was told that the chain was the chain that some sailors who thought their ship was going to sink had made a promise to Our Lady that if they were saved, they were going to come up to the shrine, and they were saved, and the chain was the one of the anchor chain of the ship, and they took it round, and there it is, round the thing. And the other thing I remember is going to Kamara Lobj, which was this lovely little village, and seeing the grapes being stamped, and the making of presumably Madeira wine. It was a lovely place to be in, and I survived because I told you, I wrote in my memoirs about the fact that I had a bit of a near miss. I had, either I had my own or I'd been lent a small sled, because in Madeira, of course, you have the big sleds which go down the hills on these cobbles, and with animal fat, you grease them so that they go down very fast, and you've got two or four men, you know, taking you down. But I had a small one for myself, and which I borrowed or belonged to me, I don't know. But I remember this on this one occasion, going down. It was a hill going down to the entrance to the hotel on the road. And normally I'd stop before going down, but on this occasion I must have been going too fast. I couldn't stop for a shot across this main road in the sled to the other side. And luckily, the Lord was looking after me, because there was no car or anything coming, and I survived it.
So you did. You didn't go to school. It was your nanny.
No, I didn't go to school. No.
I didn't ask whether you had any brothers or sisters.
I had a sister. Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yes, I had a sister. We were both going with that. Mm. No, I didn't go to school, and I think that the rest of the Gibraltar population, the ones that were sort of living in the accommodation that had been provided by the government, you know, I think they provided some sort of schooling for them. But I always say to all my friends that it made not the slightest difference to my education, because it must have been July or August 1939 to April 1943, I didn't go to school. And the time I got to school, I was 9 and a half, and all I knew was how to write and how to read. And I passed my common entrance examination when I was 12. And I passed not the lowest one, the one just above the lowest one. So I always say, you know, don't worry about your children's education. No. When you're young, I'm not clever. I'm very average. I'm not clever at all. You know, people catch up. Children catch up very, very easily, you know, if they're still young. So I managed to catch up, you know, in less than 3 years, in about 3 years, you know, the 4 years that I hadn't been at school.
So your father, I mean, do you think where you stayed was because of your father's position in Japan?
No, it's because we had more money. Because he had, even though, you know, the colonial service is not exactly a sort of, you don't care that much, but relatively, I suppose, to other people. The thing is, the other people, you know, they're the fathers of the ordinary Gibraltarian and all the rest of it. I don't know what jobs they had, but they probably had very modest jobs, except for the ones who had businesses, and the businesses continued. For example, the Stagnetos, the main people who ran it, you know, and all the rest of it, the families went to Tangier to live, you know, and because they had the money, and they lived in Tangier, and they probably lived a more luxurious life than we did in Madeira. So we were there with ourselves. My aunt, who was childless and who was my mother's sister, and the Capuros, some Gajeros, Tony Gajero, who later became a monk, and then he left that and all the rest of it. So these were rich Gibraltarian families, you know, especially more richer than we, because my father was a civil servant, while these were people who had businesses, and that had businesses and all the rest of it. So we had, I think she must have been in the hotel too, we had Victoria McIntosh, John McIntosh's wife. Of course, she was very rich. And so we were quite a few families there, and that's why we were there. So because we had the money to be there and to be in a decent hotel and being decently fed, and probably rather than with the other ones who had to put up with whatever it is that the government could provide for them and all the rest of it.
So did you see your father? Did you see him in all that?
He came once. I think he really sort of said to the government, you know, let me go and see how all the refugees are doing, you know, and at the same time I can visit my family, you know. So he came. He came over and he spent a few days with us. I don't know how the hell he came or how he went back for that, tell you. But there was this... It may be that the ship on which we finally left was the one that both had brought us there and that did a regular trip between Funchal and Lisbon, which was the Carvalho Araújo. And so he must have come on that ship and gone back. I'm not quite sure, because I saw a photograph the other day, I'm not quite sure whether his younger brother, because they were four brothers altogether, Francis, who was the manager of Nestle's in Gibraltar, and who stayed in Gibraltar because that was a very important job, that he didn't come with him too, because I think he might have come, because I think I've got a photograph of him with his wife, with Auntie Adelaida, in Madeira too. So he may have come with my father and gone back with my father.